Now joining us in studio, the CEO and founder of The Judgment Group, Susan Wilson. Welcome, Susan, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you were named among Fortune Magazine's 2009 list of most powerful women, and The Judgment Group is based in Stevensville, Maryland. It utilizes proprietary technology to track down debtors and get judgments paid, and your clients include small businesses and others. So explain how this process works for clients.
It's funny to hear somebody else's perspective on it. Okay. You know, you have to do that little bio piece. I started the company as a way to monetize data. My last startup was a venture-backed startup, and this one, literally from the ground up, was based on, all my decisions were based on what I didn't want to do, based on experiences.
Okay.
So I knew I didn't want to raise money. I knew I wanted to do something really cool with data, and this was back in 2000. I didn't want to trend it. I didn't want to project potentially what people were going to buy and then have to go sell them stuff. I literally wanted to take data and turn it into cash. So I spent months researching and eventually landed, it was a light bulb moment. Judgments are the mechanism to literally turn data into cash. Stayed up all night researching and found out that 80% of judgments are never paid, despite the fact that the courts award them. It's trillions of dollars in the United States, trillions of dollars in this country in unpaid judgments. And the next morning I formed the company. And I started out proof of concept, pioneered the business again in 2000. And from there we've grown from individuals to small businesses, and now we go out and we buy debt in much larger pools.
And so you didn't have a bad experience with not receiving money owed to you, or you did?
I did not, no.
So this was purely just, you said data.
Yeah, this was definitely, it's funny, it wasn't until my mid-30s, a lot of people can sing and dance, and I watch you on the radio, and it's very clear that you're passionate about it, and that's your art. And I was never good, frankly, at anything. And it took me until my mid-30s to realize that kind of business was that creative piece for me, building something from nothing. And, I'm that dorky person that reads the business books every weekend. I just nonstop, that's what I do. And that's how it came to be. It was really, what could I do that nobody had ever done before?
And we're speaking with CEO and founder of The Judgment Group, Susan Wilson. So how do, let's talk about a little bit more detail into this process. These judgments are unpaid. Mm-hmm. A small business hires you and says, all these clients haven't paid me. Can you get them?
It works a number of ways. A small business may be owed, you'd be surprised, the dentist office, even a bail bondsman, they were our first really initial clients, and they were owed $1 million in receivables. And we would go in and say, look, we can pay you X amount now and split the recovery, and we'll pay all the costs, or we'll pay you 10 cents on the dollar. So here's $100,000 now. And then we'd buy the judgments, own them outright, and that's the model we preferred, because then for me, ideally, I built the business based on things I didn't want to do. The last company was venture-backed. I didn't want to be venture-backed. I really wanted to build it on my terms because I had children. And while I adore my husband, he's got a college degree and all those things, he has no desire to ever make a cent. So I knew it was all going to fall on me. But I still wanted the hockey stick growth curve. I didn't want a knowledge-based workforce, but I wanted to make a technology play. And so there were a lot of things that really had to come together to make it work just right. And I went out, and again, it took a long time to figure it out, but it all came down to data. So we go out and ideally buy the judgments, because again, that was the other piece. I didn't. Not that I'm not a fan of people. I really enjoy conversations. I could debate all day long, but I'm not a fan of employees or clients. Those people that you have to be nice to and you have to cater to and all that, yeah, they're a pain, so, in all honesty.
So your model then is it's proprietary software.
It's proprietary technology. If you're focused on, again, the goal for us was to literally take data and turn it into cash. And for a judgment, all you need to know is where somebody banks, works, and owns property. That's it. And then from there, you file the forms. They go through the court process. It's all legal. Everything signed by a judge. That's the beautiful thing, too. It's all vetted. I mean, there's from a liability standpoint, it's very different than a collection agency and all that. You know, we're not a call shop or a letter shop or anything like that. It's a total technology play. So we developed, and the algorithms are changing all the time. And now with social networking, you know, people talk about their privacy, and they fought to keep their privacy for so long, and now they just give it away. And maybe even if I don't at 40, I have a 13-year-old son that will happily tell you where I work.
Mm-hmm.
It's up on his Facebook page. And so when you build the technology focused on that,
mm-hmm.
and that's what our business is, all we care about is where somebody banks, works, and owns property.
How then, if it is, how then is it not easy for a competitor to replicate what you do? It's easy, they just haven't done it, or it's not easy?
It's not easy by any stretch.
Okay, so there's a learning curve to understand how to
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely, and every state's different. You need, typically lawyers have served this market, and lawyers are licensed by state. And lawyers aren't the most technically savvy. They're just not. Lawyers are trained to get judgments, not to get them paid. Those are two very different mm-hmm. things. And that's kind of how we fell into it and discovered the size of the market opportunity. It took a long time. And like many industries, it's dominated by men. I call them, it's a running joke, I call them 44 regulars. And it's a room full of typically middle-aged white men. And I went to this exclusive retreat, Debt Buyers Retreat, and I had a black eye. Not one person noticed.
Interesting.
Not one person noticed. And, the industry's come a long way, and I've really worked hard to build the credibility. And that's why I've spent so much time in the last year focused on the awards and building up the credibility.
We are here with Susan Wilson, CEO and founder of The Judgment Group. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith. We are going to return after this and continue our conversation with Susan on Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Back here in Leaders Portfolio, I'm Rebecca Blacksmith, the CEO and founder of The Judgment Group, Susan Wilson. Susan was named among Fortune Magazine's 2009 list of most powerful women. So I'm going to ask you about that. First of all, what do you think has made you a most powerful woman?
It's either my best quality or my worst quality. I have a tendency to not necessarily think before I speak, which is good and bad. I say what's on my mind. And the thing is, I'm more than happy to be wrong. Just because I say it doesn't mean I'm right. So I enjoy the dialogue. So I think that's probably it. And I've learned a lot in the process.
And what have you ever failed or almost failed in a business?
Oh, sure. Are you kidding? I probably fail three times a day. For me, again, it's the creation piece that drives me. I think I'm a horrible manager. I'm not that's just not my skill set. But for me, the idea of constantly innovating and creating and to be able to do that, you have to be willing to fail, fail early and often. And that's tough on my team sometimes because it's not necessarily easy to follow because I'll be in 10 different directions.
ADD.
I'm medicated for ADD and I don't care what anybody says, Yes, I certainly am medicated. But, that's what drives me. It gets me out of bed at 4 a.m. I found the best thing for me is meditation. I got to tell you to get some quiet time, but that requires I get up at 4 a.m. because I have, a husband and 3 kids. But I honestly, failure, embrace it.
Did you ever fail in another in a business financially, failed?
Even in this one? Yeah. I had to sell my big house, going through this thing. I self-funded most of the time. I self-funded and I had the nice big house that we built and picked everything out. And the reality was, it was the house or the company, and I chose the company. And fortunately, like I said, I have a very supportive husband. He was behind me, so we sold it. We rented a house for a year, and then we went on to buy a house. So, technically, is that a failure? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But it was the right decision.
Long-term right decision.
Long-term, yeah. Stuff. Am I going to end up on the streets? No. Stuff is stuff. Who cares?
So you started this in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I always think this is interesting. How many hours a week were you working 2000 to 2003, and how many now? Or hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed. For me, I live, sleep, eat, and breathe it. I just love it. And especially now with the speed of change and the dynamics that are going on, and just the people that I've met in the last year has been so amazing. And that's part of what I missed for a long time was the dialogue at kind of a senior level of the debate and the pushback, really the pushback. Because when you create your company, you hire a bunch of people that work for you and they're very happy to do what you tell them. And you have your systems and processes and things go along.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's how you get to be the best. You get to be the best by, you know, pushing back. It's probably been about 2 years ago, I sat down with two of my classmates from Harvard and developed the goal, you know, ultimately what did I want to build? And they gave me a really hard time for it. And I said I wanted to build the best run, most profitable company in the world. And it was certainly ballsy, but you couldn't argue with it. Who would say, no, I don't want to do business with that company, I wouldn't want to invest in that company. It doesn't make sense. And so, don't get me wrong, I lost a lot of money that year because I made some huge changes that the company couldn't absorb. And so I learned some painful lessons. And so now this year, the theme is incremental improvements, small changes, small actions, big changes. And it's a very different approach. And again, it all came from failure.
You think most of your leadership lessons have come from failure?
I really do. And not even all mine, certainly other people's. I'm a firm believer in work wherever, whenever. If you can get it done and you the job needs to get done, why on earth can't you do it at a bookstore or at home or at 2 a.m. or at 6? Whatever works best for you.
You have a bachelor's from Georgetown University. Mm-hmm. And you're working on your third year of a 3-year executive education program at Harvard Business School, which is what you just referred to.
Right, right.
So tell me about kind of the decision to run a company and now go back to executive.
That program, it's funny. For me, it's a vacation. I kid you not. Because, I have 3 kids. They're 13, 11, and 6. And then my husband, fortunately. You go and it is a program. There's roughly 80 people in my class, all business owners. All type A personalities, and frankly, Americans are the minority. So they're from all over the world. And we were there for the financial collapse. I mean, our class runs in October is when we meet. And it was absolutely fascinating to see it and be there and witness it. And, I saw Bill Gates and Jamie Dimon, and it was just an amazing thing. And we're having these dialogues. And again, all type A's. So everybody thinks they're right. And there's arguments going back and forth. And the professors are used to going out and lecturing. And it's a very different process in this group. But I've never been so tired in my life. I mean, they definitely take care of you, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all that's taken care of. And, dinner, there's wine and all these great things. But it is a almost a bubble. And the learning experience and the bonding from it that's something that nobody expected. And ultimately, one of the things that changed my life in the most incredible way. And it was a big adjustment on my home life then because I didn't expect it. And I know it sounds corny, but falling in love kind of with this new family that you're with for 3 weeks, and then you go back to your regular life. And it's not nearly as sexy because now you have to cook and clean and all that, and all that stuff that sucks.
And give me a leadership lesson you learned from them or a lesson from what you learned in the thick of being there in the financial crisis.
It was really one of my friends, and he's a Canadian. He says, the only thing Americans love worse than a loser is a winner. And it was an interesting theory because it's true. We have a tendency, we love the underdog. And then, when we encourage somebody and then they come and they become a winner. But God, then we take them down. Mm-hmm. We really, and somehow it's almost a sport. And I learned more than anything, the leadership piece I learned was that as an American, I didn't realize how arrogant I really was about America. Because I'll tell you, there was a big Nigerian contingent in the group, and a big one. There were 8 guys from Nigeria. And it was a running joke. We would tease them, and we called them the Nigerian Mafia. Or they called themselves the Nigerian Mafia with emails and, asking for money. And it was everybody would joke kind of about their cultural differences. But the leadership piece was how much we were truly different. I thought we'd be a lot, the same, and it wasn't. We're all incredibly different. and driven by different things. A lot of family businesses, not driven by money. I was the outcast because for me, I like to build a company and flip it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, there's an exit strategy. And they were shocked, appalled. And I looked at, you know, the four other Americans that I know have gone through that process looking for support. Yeah, they just had their head down.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting for me.
So you have an exit strategy already for the judgment group.
Yes.
You always do right from the beginning.
Absolutely. For me, it's always about maximizing value. Always.
And the first, you mentioned there was another company that you had that was VC-backed. Mm-hmm. And it was a bad VC-backed experience?
It wasn't that it was bad. It was, you know, it was in, I wouldn't have changed a thing. It was in 98. We raised money based on a concept. And immediately you lost a third of the equity. And it was from Flatiron Partners. And at that point, they were the internet arm of Chase. So it was Bob Green, Jerry Colonna, and Fred Wilson, all brilliant venture capitalists. I mean, Fred Wilson has an amazing blog. I mean, these are the best of the best. And they were great advisors. But it was the first time we'd done it. You know, Rick Steele was the CEO. I was second in command. And it was a company called LivePrint. We went on and then raised another $10 million from Chase, did a strategic partnership with Kinko's. And I can remember being on the floor of the stock exchange. We were going to take the .com public. And because Kinko's was a privately held entity. So we're meeting with Goldman Sachs. I wasn't even 30. And on paper, I was worth millions. I can remember celebrating my 30th birthday at the office at, you know, midnight. My kids are home with my husband. And I didn't feel the least bit guilty. And the market crashed. And it was all an illusion. I wouldn't have changed it. It was a ride of a lifetime. I mean, it was just fantastic. But it was, they made decisions that I necessarily, you know, in the end, we didn't have control. And women, I think, treat people very differently than men do. And for me, that was important. I learned some hard lessons.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so then you said with the judgment group, I don't want to be VC backed.
I did not. For me, I almost had a chip on my shoulder. It's funny because I met Bob Green. It took about 5 years to meet with him again because I really had a chip on my shoulder about something that didn't even exist. It was my issue. But I was the first in my family to go to college. So I'm a blue collar girl. You know, those are my roots. My dad painted cars. My mom was a cop. And I really believed it didn't matter where you came from, as long as you were really good. And so I always wanted to prove that this group of ordinary people could do extraordinary things if given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't believe me and they didn't give me the opportunity. And so that's really the reason I didn't want venture capital. I wanted to make sure that I could prove that. And especially with this model, because with judgments, stay-at-home moms could work wherever, whenever. And the technology's caught up and there's so many great things that, you know, they can have their own money and just have some balance. There is no 9-to-5 anymore. None of that stuff exists. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be well positioned for that.
When you built this model, it says you take 50% of the collection and your client receives the other 50% of what's due to them. And this is where a judgment is due to a client that you have and it's been unpaid. And so I wondered, how did you arrive at that business model of a 50-50 split? And did you maybe have a 70-30 or 60-40 and you had to change it over time?
There were people, when I first started out, that's how it started. Because I literally pioneered it in Maryland. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a CPA is my background. So immediately, within a few months, somebody filed a complaint and I was charged with the unauthorized practice of law. So I had to hire counsel and go through and prove all these different things. But that's how we had to prove the model because we couldn't buy these. The RTC scandal had happened and there was this debt market, but nobody was focused on judgments, just debt. Judgments are a completely different ballgame. Debt, there's this huge liability and frankly, just they're a nightmare, just regular consumer debts versus judgments. They're court orders, public record. The credit agencies pick them up automatically so we don't have to report. We're not responsible for anything. All the records are maintained at the courthouse. A judge has gone through it all and vetted it. So all we're doing is enforcing the court's order. So for us, we're literally supporting the nation's system of civil justice. That's it. So now we go through and buy, again, because especially in this economy, a dentist office is going to go out of business. They can't meet payroll. So instead of doing the 50-50 split, it never happens. Very rarely happens. Now we go through, we have the cash, and we'll buy them for, you know, 5 or 10 cents on the dollar. And it works, and they're happy. They get, for them, what was worthless paper is now money. It's found money for them. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win.
Excellent. We're speaking with the CEO and founder of the Judgment Group, Susan Wilson. And Susan, we were talking off air about, you had read about my panoptic leadership theory, which our listeners know, which is this concept that there are leaders who are good in their market sector, and their leaders, they're like the leaders plus, and they're good in their market sector, plus they actually care about infusing leadership principles in their community and with their colleagues, with their employees, with their peers, in society, etc. And so there's this kind of overall desire and failure. So it's the panoptic leader is the principle of attempting to infuse leadership in these areas and failing at it, but still trying. So there's a framework there that's not always present. And so just wanted to kind of mention that.
It's funny. I was driving to work the other day and I heard the song, and I don't even know what the lyrics are to, but apparently it was somebody bitter that was, you know, the thing was, I'm tired of thinking for you, get your own opinion. That was one of the lyrics. And it really struck me, and I haven't let that go, because that's the whole point. Get your own opinion. We're all so capable of leading our own lives. This whole following thing, there's no reason to not be well-informed in this day and age and to live your life on your terms. And that's what really drives me. And so I've really spent a lot of time with my team doing that. And then for me, I love female entrepreneurs. It's a whole different beast, what we go through. Turns out we don't ask for the cash. We just don't. We don't ask for help. We don't ask for cash. And it's ultimately our downfall. I really think it is. And so that's why Ernst & Young, I'm part of their Winning Women program, mm-hmm. and there's 9 of us in there. And even though this group of women, incredibly powerful, struggle with the same issues.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio and for being honest and sharing of the struggles and successes and failures and just your leadership theories. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Of course, with us on air, the CEO and founder of the Judgment Group, Susan Wilson, and you can find her information at leadersportfolio.com as well as this interview. I want to thank our senior producer, Dr. Ullers, and the production team, hair and makeup by Charisma White, theme by CSH Entertainment, and reminding you to apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards.